Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here this morning and good to be with you all. As Vernon, or I should say Bo, that's what you go by now, huh? I knew him before he became a famous rock star and changed his name. So, what's that? Yes, previously the artist, previously known as Vernon. It is great to be here with you this morning. It really does bring a lot of joy to my own heart to be able to come to a place where an old friend is doing the thing that he loves. And it is always great when I can be around some friends who are doing the things that God has called them to do. And so it is wonderful to be here, and thanks artist formerly known as Vernon, for inviting me to be here this morning. As Bo said this morning, my wife and I just moved up here. We have lived in Savannah for the past, 12 years. My wife was born there and was raised there. And for me, I'm a Georgia transplant, originally from South Mississippi, went to school in Texas, as I was told this morning, and I was a school teacher for 12 years. I taught 9th grade and 12th grade religion, and was a journalism teacher as well. So those are like the hats that I wore. But also was a minister at a church in Savannah, First Baptist Church Savannah, and loved our time there, and it was wonderful. But it is good to be in this place and in this city. We've loved our move up to Atlanta, and it's been wonderful. I think that was all the yes. You know, it is good to be here this morning during the Advent season, this lead up to this glorious day of Christmas, which we all enjoy. And this season of Advent, what I actually love about it is that it is a season really of reflection. And it is a season that leads up to something really beautiful. But in the midst of that, it puts us in a season really of darkness. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but Christmas lands in the season where we have the longest nights of the year, where we have the most darkness in the year. If you've ever picked up and listened to Advent songs, for those of you who are really into music, most Advent songs are written even in minor keys. And one of the reasons is because it is supposed to express this need and this longing for something to come, some hope that is on the way. And so if you go back and you listen to like, O come, Emmanuel, oh, isn't there some longing in that song? Isn't there like just this need of like, man, something isn't right, but boy, we need something good to come, right? And so this Advent season leads us through this time where we're getting ready for something good to happen. Because boy, don't we all need something good to happen sometimes, right? I mean, we're familiar with darkness, right? And sometimes we just need some light to shine through, right? And so we hear it sometimes in the music that we sing around this season. And you know, speaking of music, a couple of months ago, maybe you did this too, I was glued to the television for 8 nights because Ken Burns had a documentary on country music, okay? Now, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with country music. Some of it, I wonder how it ever got made. And some of it, I'm like, oh, that's my heart right there, okay? Because my father used to listen to country music. So when I was, like, growing up, riding in the car, guess what we listened to? We listened to some good country music, okay? And so this documentary is walking through this history, and it reminded me of just how central to country music is one character. Anybody want to know who that character is? Well, Jesus is a good guess. It's a really good churchy answer too. If you're one of my students, I'd call you out on that. But more, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now the character I'm thinking of is Mama. Okay? You know what I mean? They were interviewing Merle Haggard, who, of course, turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer him right, but guess who tried? Mama Tried, that's right. It even reminded me of that other song by an artist called David Allan Coe, where he had written this song. And if you know the song, in the middle, he talks about how he had written the perfect country song. He sent it to a friend, and the friend said, "You have not written the perfect country song because you didn't include," and he has this whole list of things like trains and dogs, and one of the ones that he didn't include was Mama. Right. So he wrote another verse where he got Mama out of prison, because what else would you do in a country song but get Mama out of prison, okay? But there is this central theme, or at least a character that comes up a lot, of Mama. And, you know, as you talk to people, unless, you know, I don't know your situation, unless you had a really bad experience with your parents or mom, boy, you hear a lot of good things about Mama, don't you? I mean, even in these seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, my wife and kids were making things in the kitchen, and my wife may say something like, "This is my mother's recipe or my grandmother's recipe," right? How many of you have those sitting around, you know? How many of you get the kids or grandkids together and it's like, "We're going to teach you Mama's recipe," you know? Or you may even have some sayings in your life where you tell, like, your kids or grandkids, "You know what? Mama used to say this." Or, "I got that wisdom from my mama." Because we've all learned some things from our mamas, haven't we? These women in our lives who, for many of us, have been pillars for us. And we got some wisdom, and we got some good recipes and food, too, from Mama. And today we look at a mother, or at least a mother to be. And just like you've learned some things maybe from your mama or somebody else's mama, we got some things that we can learn from this mother. This mother who we come to know as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now here's the thing though. Any of you who've grown up around this story, we've got some things to have to deal with this story, right? Because for many of us, we hear what was read this morning, and we're like, "Man, Mary, angel appears, oh." And she's like, "Yeah, let's go, let's do this," okay? And sometimes, for those of us who have grown up around this story for a long time, it kind of loses its radical nature, doesn't it? The crazy things going on in this story. Because let me tell you, this is not a normal story, okay? If someone in this congregation came up this morning and said, "Hey, guess what? I was visited by an angel this morning, and guess what that angel said?" We might take a pause and go, "Hold on. Let's just take a time out here and let's talk about your mental state here." Because that's what we do, right? We would probably nowadays not immediately go, "Well, praise God that you were visited by an angel this morning. Let's talk about that. Did you take a selfie with it so we can talk about it?" You know, that is probably not going to be our first reaction, right? Because this story isn't normal. And so let's pull out and push away some of the things that maybe is in our brain about it. Because what we have sometimes is these images of Mary with a halo on her head. Beautiful angels around her. And this is not always true to the story, is it? This is not a normal story. This is an abnormal story of faith. And a woman who says yes to something crazy, you know? I mean, what God is asking her is not easy. It's hard. Now, when you look at this story, we heard it this morning. Let me tell you a few things about it, okay? And let's look at this woman who says yes to God in this instance. First off, Mary is young. Okay, she is probably somewhere around 14 or 15 years old. Okay, when I was a teacher, I taught ninth graders. That's about the time when you are 14 and 15. So when I would teach them, I would say, all right, girls, are you ready? Because Gabriel's coming for you to say, hey, you're going to have a child. And most of the girls in that class would say, oh, no, no, no. We're not in on that. But I would tell them, listen, it's about your age that God comes and says, hey, will you do this? Will you say yes to this? 14 years old. Can you imagine when you were 14 if someone said, hey, you're going to have a child? I mean, this is a big ask on God's part. And listen, here's the other thing about this story. Mary has everything to lose, doesn't she? Everything to lose. She has really, at this point in the story, she doesn't have anything to gain, okay? Now, we can fast forward the story and see that there's a lot she gains, but at this point in the story, she doesn't have anything to gain. So let's compare her to some other folks that God calls. Let's look at Moses, okay? God comes to Moses, big burning bush thing, okay? And God says, will you go and rescue my people? All right? Now, Moses, being the stubborn man that he is, makes us read for three chapters for him trying to get out of it. Okay? And coming up with every excuse in the world to not do what God asked him to do. Okay? But in the end, Moses has something really to gain. At that point in the story, Moses is nothing more than an outcast murderer. And what can he be? He can be the person who saves a whole people. So he has something to gain. Let's take Abram, for instance. Abram and Sarai, who are old, God says, listen, do what I want you to do, and I will give you a land, I will give you a nation, and I will give you a child. That is all something that they can gain. Okay? Mary has nothing to gain in this story. Really, she has everything to lose at this point in the story. Look at King David. Samuel comes to say, hey, we're going to crown a king. That's a pretty good gain, right? To be the king. Even Jesus' disciples, they're just fishermen, a lot of them. They have something to gain. Even the story of Elizabeth, which I think you read last week, right? Okay, Elizabeth is old. She has at least something to gain in the story. She's going to have a child even in her old age, right? She's got something to gain here. But Mary has everything to really lose. This 14-year-old girl who is not yet married is visited by this angel. And this angel says, listen, you're going to have a kid. Now, the reality is that if she is pregnant, and if she is 14, and she is not married, guess what can happen to her? Yeah, there's a whole list of options, right? I mean, at worst, they could kill her. At best, they could just do away with her. So she has a lot to lose. Because let's just imagine this. This little 14, 15-year-old girl who in faith says yes to God, walks around pregnant, not married. You know the things that would have been said about her, right? You know the things that would have, like, we can't say them in church, but you know what they are. You know what she would have had to deal with. You know what people would have said about her on Twitter. Would have been real bad. Not only that, you know what would have been said about her family. You know what would have been said about her mom and dad? Well, if they would have just raised that girl a little bit better, then, you know, she probably would have turned out a little bit better. And don't think that the story of, oh, it's God, is going to get her by, okay? Because again, if someone gets pregnant and says, oh, don't worry about it, it's God, it's God, most of us are not going to go, oh, well, yeah, that gets us by right there. I mean, she had to live, really, in a lot of shame. to do what she did. And in that certain culture, shame and honor was everything. I would tell my students that, listen, girls in that society could never bring honor to their family unless they did one thing. They had a male child. That's it. That's the only thing a girl could do to bring honor to their family. Girls were liabilities in that world. Most of the time, if you had a girl, it was like, oh gosh, I hope she doesn't screw things up for us. And so for this little child, this little girl, to say, yes, I'm in. Holy cow. The shame and dishonor she had to live with was huge. It was huge. Again, sometimes we look at the story and go, yeah, go Mary. But boy, to walk in those shoes during those days, boy, that would have been tough. Gosh, it would have been tough. Tough on her, tough on her family. As a matter of fact, you know, Joseph, who I think you'll read about next week, he's like, okay, we can do away with her, right? I mean, that's his plan. And that was a nice plan, by the way. That was like the good option. And so for Mary, this is a hard task. And she doesn't have anything to gain by doing it. She could lose her life. She could lose her reputation, probably does. She could lose her family, all this stuff. And she says in faith, I'm in. Let's do it. You know what's also interesting about this story is that for her, there's some impossibility in this story too, right? Even Mary asks about it. She says, okay, if I'm in on this baby thing, I do have one, like, technical question, okay? How is that going to work? And she says, since I am still a virgin, okay? Now, I'll tell you like I tell my ninth graders, if that confuses you, go have some good family conversations at dinner, okay? Y'all can talk about that later. But she says, there's a technical question here. Since I'm a virgin, how am I going to get pregnant? And what does the angel say? Don't worry, the Holy Spirit's got it. God's got it. Basically, she's saying, there's an impossibility here. What do we do about that? And the angel says, listen, God's got it. Okay? Again, think of the people who God has called before. Moses at the burning bush. I have a question, God. I don't speak very well. And God says, we got it. Don't worry about it. That might be an impossibility for you, but it's not an impossibility for me, so we got it. Abram and Sarah. Hey, God, there's this thing. Sarah's really old, and you promised a child. So how is that going to happen? Guess what God says? Hey, I got it. That's an impossibility for you, but guess what? It's a possibility for me, and I got it. Last week, Elizabeth, hey, same thing as Abram and Sarah. I'm old. How's that going to happen? God says, hey, don't worry about it. You know what? That's impossible for you, but guess what? It's possible for me. It's happening. And even in this impossibility, God says, we got it. Don't you worry about the impossible, because the possible is going to happen. I'm going to make it possible. You know, what's fantastic about Mary is that in the end, even with everything to lose, even with this impossibility, Mary still says yes. She still says yes. Now, if I'm honest, I think that's a pretty crazy response. But she does it. I don't know if I'd say yes. Besides the fact that I'm not a female and I, there's that. Even if I was, I'm not real sure that I'm saying yes. Not with everything that I would have to lose. Not with the impossibility of this. As a matter of fact, it's beautiful what Mary says, isn't it? You know, if you look back, it says, I am the Lord's servant. So may it be according to your word. In other words, yes, I'll do it. And Mary, with the impossibility, with everything to lose, says, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's go. There have probably been many of you who could tell us some stories. We could probably stand up here every announcements with somebody and say, given us some great stories about how God has worked and moved in their life, right? There have probably been some times where you thought, you know what, there is something that's impossible, and guess what God did? God made it possible. There's been some times for many of you who you probably had something great to lose, but you might have said yes to God, and guess what happened? You gained something bigger than you thought. All because we said yes. Yeah, God, I'm in on that. I'll be a part of that. And what's fascinating about Mary to me is that Mary is so incredibly normal. You ever notice how most of the characters in the Bible that God calls to do something big are really pretty normal people? They're not people in power most of the time. They're not even most of the time people with a whole lot of wealth. They're not people with a whole lot of status. They're just pretty normal people. And some of them are below normal people. That would be me. And yet God comes to this poor female teenager and says, you want to do something great? You want to do something impossible? You want to do something where you don't have a lot to gain that you know of yet, but boy, it'll come later. You want in on that? You come on. Let's do that. Every year, I would tell my high school seniors to present a presentation on an organization that is trying to change the world. And so sometimes I would hear presentations on things like Tom's Shoes, or I would hear a presentation on something like Charity Water. And many of their stories of how those organizations started are very similar. One of the organizations that I heard about often was an organization called Freedom Story. And the organization, this organization was started by a girl named Rachel, who was in college when she first started it back in the middle 2000s. And she had gone on a trip to Thailand. And while she was there, she learned about human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking of mostly young girls. And she started to learn about the global epidemic that is. And she said, as a college girl, something's got to be done about this. So she started this organization that originally was called the Sold Project. She met this one little girl, her name was Kat, and she did a documentary about her. And she went around the country telling people about the problem of human trafficking, specifically in Thailand, for her group. And boy, she got people behind it. She got lots of people behind it. And the epidemic of human trafficking, especially in Thailand, boy, it seems like something that is impossible to tackle. But she said, something has to be done about this. And so now, that organization that has been around for over 15 years now has schools that they have opened in Thailand so that girls, specifically girls, can go to school and be educated and not have to face the specter over them of being trafficked into the sex trade. She has done amazing work that most people said was impossible. But she said, you know what? God wants me to do something about this. And she said yes to what God put in front of her. And she stepped into that and has done amazing work. She has made the possible out of the impossible. You know, maybe the yes that you need to say maybe isn't that big. Maybe it's not an organization starting big. A couple of years ago at the church that my wife and I went to, there was a real need for a Sunday school teacher of young adults. And so one day at our quarterly conference, we said, hey, would anyone be willing to teach young adults? And so there was this older woman who was in her 80s, who had been a medical doctor all of her life, was a medical missionary after that. She could usually make it to one thing on Sunday because physically that was all she was able to do. She could either make it to Sunday school or she could make it to church. And she said, yes, I'll do it. And so she got up every Sunday morning, and with the help of her aide, who physically helped her, you know, to her car and to church, she showed up every single Sunday and taught those young adults. Because she said, you know what, there's something that God is calling me to, and I need to say yes. And so even in the impossibility of her physically getting there, God made it possible for her to say yes and teach those kids or teach those young adults. You know, for many of you, I don't really know what your yes to God is this morning. Maybe it's something big. Like the example I gave of Rachel, maybe it's something really big. But maybe it's something not that big. Maybe the thing that God is calling you to do is just to say, hey, you know, maybe there is like a Sunday school class or a midweek Bible study that I just need to say, okay, yes, I'll do that. You know, maybe it's like Jody was talking about this morning. Maybe your yes is just to say, I'm going to make the first things first. And that's a yes to what God is calling you to do. But maybe God is calling you to something big. Maybe there's something in the back of your brain that's just been rattling around there for 5 years, and it just seems impossible, and it seems like it shouldn't happen, and it seems like it should be something that should never be able to be possible, and God is standing there with a long list of people like Mary saying, oh, by the way, I can make it possible if you'll just say yes. And maybe like Mary, you think God couldn't use an ordinary me, and we see again that God says, oh, yes, I can. Maybe like Mary, you say, but that's kind of impossible. And God says, no, I make things possible. And maybe like Mary, it seems like I've got a lot to lose, but God says, oh, but you've got a whole lot to gain. And so maybe today, what God is calling you to do is just to say yes to what is stirring in your own heart. And maybe has been there for a long time. You know, this past holiday season and Thanksgiving, and maybe even in Christmas, some of you may load yourself up, you may go to the movie theater, and you may end up sitting down and watching a little movie called Frozen 2. Maybe you've already done this. But toward the end of that movie, there's the scene where the heroine Anna is in this cave all alone, and it's dark, and things are bad, and it looks impossible. And of course, she sings a song, because that's what you do in Disney movies. You have to sing a song. But one of the lyrics and the lines in that song is she says, while walking through that cave, so I walk through this night, stumbling blindly toward the light, and I'll do the next right thing. And she says this over and over again in the song, I will do the next right thing. And boy, when Gabriel comes to Mary, and she says, it's not possible. I'm going to lose it all. And there's nothing special about me. She kind of says the same thing, doesn't she? In the end, she says, I'll do the next right thing. And I'll say yes to what God is calling me to do. And so this morning, as we wrap ourselves up this morning, as we wrap up this time together, maybe our invitation this morning is just to think about, what is the thing that I need to say yes to God about? Maybe it's big, maybe it's small, but maybe we need to reflect on the fact that the God of the possible overcomes the impossible. The God who we worship uses ordinary people just like you and me. That this God who steps into these situations where it seems we have everything to lose says, no, you've got everything to gain. So why don't you just say yes? And so maybe our invitation this morning is just to reflect on what that yes is.